What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 278 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LeBlanc. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecca Stardew Valley, Chris Montabano.
Sauna's really starting to hurt now.
And we got the most degenerate squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
This is the game you're selling? Is this the game you're trying to sell to me?
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about Hades 2, the Delta emulator on iOS, the Bellsprout Community Day, the Final Fantasy 16 DLC, Persona 3 Reload, and much, much more.
Yeah.
So we're just starting off with this check-in. So for me, the uninitiated Chris, what percent, like, on the home screen on your PlayStation, it should have, like...
Should I turn it back on?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was on in the background. I didn't know that was, like, a screensaver.
Yeah, it's just LG showing.
LG.
Fancy art. let's see. What percentage am I...
Yeah, it'll give you, like, a percentage, and it'll give you a hours played... From there.
For the uninitiated, how do I do that?
Just hold down the home button.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm on the home screen.
It should be right below whatever that DLC pack is on the right.
Oh, I'm 63% through the game. And I got 71 hours played.
Okay.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
And yeah, FYI, if you ever trying to check stats like that on a game.
That's how you do it. I forgot what you had to do for the PS4, but I feel like it was not that simple.
Oh, no, the PS4, it was either your save file had your game clock on it, or...
That's what it was. And it wasn't always accurate.
Right. I mean, even the system level thing is not accurate. Like... It says I played, like, hundreds of hours of GTA, and I definitely didn't.
I got to look at the trophies, because I feel like I might be able to platinum it this run just by how I've been playing and just doing everything.
Is it a one playthrough platinum sort of deal, or is it a...
Yeah, because I didn't see, like a difficulty... trophy or anything, so I think as long as you're doing everything and you get the, like, weird obscure trophies, like saving a cat or whatever, you're gonna platinum it.
Okay. Please tell me there's a pet the dog trophy.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, no. There isn't a pet the dog trophy. You can pet the dog.
There's just not there a trophy.
It's not
for doing it five times, because that's how you really see it. They want you to pet the dog. Because in Final Fantasy 16, the trophy is pet Torgle five times. It's like, no, don't just pet him once to trophy check. Like, you got to actually want to pet Torgle to get the trophy.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the characters, Jalen's best girl.
Yeah, I know who Igus is. I played Persona 4 Arena. I know who all these people are.
I didn't know if you played Persona 3 before.
Arena.
Oh, okay, fair.
They're in Arena.
They're all in Arena. I know who.
Well, most are in Arena.
Fair. But she wants you to take him out to go use the bathroom?
You gotta walk the dog.
You gotta walk the dog. And we all take turns, apparently, in the dorm. And there are your turns where you have to take your dog out.
Hey.
They stop it.
Does it up your social link with the dog?
The dog isn't a social link.
What? Oh, man.
I would definitely be best friends with the dog.
No. You are best friends with that dog.
He's in my party. I think he's the first one that learns Almighty outside of you fusing personas.
And also, the only one that dog can speak to is Igus.
I love it.
You just walk into the room. They're having a whole ass conversation. A robot.
That happens. That does happen.
I feel like he says, I can't remember what, but I feel like he says some, like, off the wall shit, and Igus just repeats it like it's normal.
She just translates dog. She's like, I'm not here to judge the dog. I'm here to translate, dog.
She does ask you if your ass is cracked and if she could see it. In some of the dialogue, I really...
That is also, I guess. Look, she's the bravest toaster.
She is the bravest toaster. She is definitely just a toaster.
Her academics are terrible. She does not have built-in Wi-Fi.
I can't even talk to her yet, because every time I try, it's like, she's not socially...
Her social links aren't high enough to interact with you.
I was like, okay, well. But it's fine. I'm ready for that social link, because I feel like that's going to be funny.
Yeah. And then you could play the answer and then cry about it.
And then it's not funny. For how sad this game, the plot of this game is, they do add a lot of, like, here's some padding for of happiness for your sadness.
I mean, you're not sad every day. Sometimes fun shit happens. Life's like that.
Tell The Last of Us that.
Yeah.
Last of Us Part 2 if you are sad.
The Last of Us Part 2 just became misery porn at one point. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Also, still a really well-made game. Still probably one of the most well-made games I've ever played.
I'll give it that. It's a good game. I still got to go back and beat it, but that's on the bottom of the to playlist.
It's on my, like, I might have deleted it because it was just an obscenely large file, but I did do the PS5 upgrade on that one. So I do have a new trophy list to go through and definitely not platinum.
Trophies are just hard.
They're not that terrible. It'll just be like beat the game on grounded difficulty, and like grounded is just like
dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doable. It's totally like one of those things of like if I decided to lock in and really do that, I could definitely lock in and really do that, but.
I just feel like you got to dedicate a lot of the time. I feel like after one playthrough, it's hard to go back and do it.
No, so like 16, and we're going to be deep in the 16 bag. Part 2 of the DLC came out 3 days ago, and I beat the first part of it, but apparently there's a second part.
There's a second?
So there was DLC 1, and then there's DLC 2, and then there's a whole nother thing that's happening that is also, it's like an epilogue.
Huh. Is it out yet, or are you just waiting until...
No, it was like, oh man, my mic just is peeking through the heavens, hold on. Okay, so for 16, the DLC. I beat what we knew part 2 of the DLC would be, and then it was like, oh yeah, go talk to this thing over here, and then it was a whole cutscene, and something really cool happened. I guess you could look at the trophies and figure out what it is, but I'm not going to say what it was because I didn't know until I got there. Like, I thought it was just the Leviathan stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, how long was it to beat the DLC? Or I guess the first part of the DLC?
Well, the first part of the DLC was like 2 hours.
Okay, that's not bad.
And then the second... Well, you mean the first part of the, like, the Leviathan stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, the Leviathan stuff, I'd say 4-5 hours. Wasn't crazy.
It's not bad.
Yeah, you just get, like, a new open world zone, and it's, like, side quests and all that in the new open world zone, and it's a couple of hunts and, like, all these different things, so...
Cool. I could be wrong because I played like maybe 1/8 of this game. But don't you get the powers by defeating the icons?
Some of them, but some of them you just like be like, give me your powers, and then be like, all right.
Is that kind of how it works for the DLC? Because you have to be able to use it. Otherwise, like, what's the point of getting them? Because then you've already beaten the DLC.
Well, you get them kind of going into the DLC.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Yeah, and then the what I thought was the final boss of the DLC was, like, Ifrit versus Leviathan. And so you get a whole new icon battle. Like, it's a full, like, they added another, like, zone.
Mm-hmm. So it's a full
group of people, like, town. Like, they did that whole thing just the way they did it for Garuda, and they did it for Titan, and they did it for Bahamut, and they did it for Odin. Like, they did it for Leviathan.
Nice.
So I'd say it's really good. Like, 16 already kind of is the Final Fantasy I'd recommend, like, for people trying to get into Final Fantasy. I'm like, 16's really your best bet to, like, see what a modern one is, because it's the most recent mainline one. So
yeah.
And I feel like I would have, before that, I would have said 15. Because 15 also is, like, a really good, that's the one that advertises that it's for fans and first timers. But
what is 15 kind of, does it play like 16 at all?
No.
Or does it play like what is it, 13?
I mean, the stagger system started in 13 and has been in, like, everything since.
Yeah.
Except 14. I don't think 14 has, like,
a stagger system.
I mean, unless you're fighting fucking Rathalos.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Rathalos is a whole it's like the same way Behemoth, even though Behemoth was a menace when in Monster Hunter. Jeez. Still one of my proudest accomplishments in Monster Hunter World is beating Extreme Behemoth.
Yeah, that was a fight.
Yeah. That puppy had claws.
that was a roided a pit bull. Like, that was secret Ascian steroids. Like, that's like that pure Zodiac, pure Zodiac straight into that dog.
Now, whatever caused the downfall of the Allegans, they crushed that up and mixed it in with the wet food. But yeah, so yeah, 16. I'd DLC say the only thing similar between 15 and 16 is, like, the level of the graphics at a certain point. Because, like, there definitely is, like, a huge step between 13 and 15 as far as, like, using these HD, like, more 3D, more, like, having, being able to make Final Fantasy bigger and bigger with each iteration. But yeah, 15's a lot longer, I'd say, than 16. And I feel like 16's a lot more straightforward of a, it's a linear thing, so you know what you're getting going through it. So
yeah. That's cool.
That's what I'd recommend for anybody trying to get into Final Fantasy. Like, and you're on PS5, get 16.
Or I wonder if that's the
7 Remake Rebirth Twin Pack. That's also, but I mean,
I wonder, like, if that is the best one solely because the rest of them are so different.
Yeah, but I mean,
and how they play. Different. Well, like,
so no matter where you
start, like the battling is kind of a semi the same from like 1 through 10. Like being.
Well, no, because like there was a job system.
Yeah.
3 and 5. And then was 4 the one that started ATB? Because.
Yep.
Yeah, like yep. Dragon Quest has stayed straight up turn based, but ATB mm-hmm. has been around where it's like if you just start a battle and just sit there, your characters will all die. Whereas like with a typical turn based game, if you start a battle and you it's your turn and you just put down the controller and walk away forever, nothing mm-hmm. will happen.
Huh. Okay.
So, yeah, that's Final cool. Fantasy's always kind of had
something different in each one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because even original 7, like, and then the way they handle ATB, because that gauge is in a lot of them, but it means different things depending on, like, the context of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
so... Yeah, I definitely would recommend anybody start with 16. It's cinematic enough. It's
mm-hmm.
good enough, you know? There are some, like, downsides to it, but I feel like the ups way outweigh the downs of the game, especially now with both the DLCs. Like, now that... The season pass is done, and like you don't even need the DLC really. It just I could see making it better.
Yeah.
So, because both of them unlock technically at the last mission of the game, and then they kind of have a storyline through both of them that kind of wraps back around to. So I think I'm going to, like, after I do this whole other thing that just unlocked,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat the end of the game with all the new stuff that I've gotten. Just because I feel like it's already setting up to loop back really well, story-wise.
Mm-hmm. So
I could see, like, if... towards the end of the game, like I had all of this open up to me on my first playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would have hit really different. And it'll be interesting to see if they change the ending, because I'm not seeing, like, with the first DLC, after I beat it, I went online, and for like a couple days, there was no content about it at all. So I feel like with this one, maybe we're getting to the point where I'm going to start seeing, like, if they made changes like that, but I don't know. As far as, like, me seeing it for myself, I still got a ways to go. Got a solid couple hours. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So, also speaking... of games that are really awesome and I recommend to everybody, Hades 2. Jalen, you watched the developer breakdown, because they had a disclaimer at the front that basically made me decide not to watch it. They were like, if you want to get into the technical test, if you want to get into early access, this is just going to be what you're playing. And I was kind of just like,
Yeah, but I want to play it. I still want to play it. Yeah, I watched a lot of it.
I didn't watch what they showed because I just want to play it.
Hmm.
It looks really good. It's going to be sick. Super Giant's in their bag. Like,
yeah, some of the art that they shown for the gods and goddesses are peak. They're just saucy.
Are they the same? Because I know Aphrodite.
No, the gods are the same, but their designs are different. They're because since you're in war right now, everyone looks a bit more warlike. Like Aphrodite is carrying a spear and a shield now, and got the same white war paint on her face as Ares does.
Because
the couple is matching. But, you know, everyone looks a lot more warlike, and Morpheus is even sleepier. He is no longer half asleep. That man is unconscious.
Is it like a Zenitsu unconscious, or is it...
Well, he's probably sending nightmares out to attack the Titans. You know, it's like, he's probably in the midst of it.
I really need to beat Hades.
It's so much fun. Yeah. It's so much fun.
I really enjoy playing Hades, but I never feel like I'm making enough progress for the amount of time I'm putting into the game whenever I'm playing it. That's like the thing is, like, the progression feels like just like a little bit too slow to like.
It's because.
Get good.
It's really just get good because once you get to a certain point, like. I'm at the epilogue. I just need, like, to find two more gods to give them some nectar to so I could just hit the cutscene. But it's basically the point that that's what's influencing what builds I'm using. Hmm. Oh, that game's so good. And Hades 2 looks better. Like, that game's gonna be something.
Do they make any change? Do they like show any changes or anything?
I mean, it's the bones of it are still the same game.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they've shown off characters. Mostly they were just showing off characters.
Mm. Okay.
That's cool.
And I'm guessing like new, like variations of power that you're getting from the gods.
Yeah. Like, for example, you don't interact with Nemesis in the first game. And I think Nemesis is one of your build paths.
Hmm.
Oh, and Skelly got a promotion.
What's Skelly doing now?
Oh, no, he's still Skelly. But now he has a beard, a cape, and medals. Like, look, the game's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
From Supergiant. Like, Supergiant, since Transistor for me, has been like, whatever. Like, I didn't finish Pyre, but I really intend on finishing Hades, especially leading into Hades 2. Because that early access or that technical test on my Steam Deck... And you know it's going to be Steam Deck verified, like...
Yeah, I'm thinking about buying... That's what I'm thinking about buying the first one again, because I got it off Epic Store, because it took a very long time for it to hit Steam. And I'm like, I kind of want to buy it again and put it on my Steam Deck.
It's a good game to have on the
game
Steam.
All over again.
Yeah, it's a good game to have on the deck.
So yeah, like I got it in early access on Epic Game Store. Then I got it when it came to Switch. And then it went on sale for Steam. And so I got it on Steam, like, even before I had a Steam Deck. And then I also, when it came to PlayStation. Like, PlayStation is where I really need to play. Because those trophies will definitely keep me motivated.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hades everywhere, and it's available as part of Netflix, so I have it on my phone.
Oh, because you can play games through Netflix on your phone?
Yeah. They have, like, pretty good games, like Dead Cells, Hades, Into the Breach, TMNT, Shredder's Revenge.
That's cool.
Yeah. So they have, like, actually, like, games that like I'd recommend you buy. Like they have Moonlighter, they have a bunch of really good, like surprisingly good, like straight up games that just come with your subscription and you can only play on mobile if you have Netflix.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, just judging by how they've been handling it, I'm pretty sure they're just going to keep getting a lot of these, like, triple I level, like, I think Slay the Spire is just a regular app, but Slay the Spire is definitely the type of thing I could see coming to Netflix games.
I wonder if they'll try and pick up, what is it, Balto?
Balatro.
Balatro is
just trying to do a app on their own. They've already talked about it.
Cool.
So, yeah. But yeah, Balatro has been kind of there. I don't know. Between Pokemon Go, Final Fantasy 16, and this Delta emulator, I've just been super occupied. So, have either of you downloaded the Delta emulator?
No, I need to know.
It's like, it's really interesting finally getting an emulator on iOS officially and just having it work with like my iOS file system that's synced to the cloud and just. It's as simple as, like, if I need to do something on my computer, I can just open that folder on my computer and do whatever I need to do. And it'll just automatically sync to the emulator on my phone. And, like, while there are all of these different kinds of handheld emulation devices, like, the Switch, you can play, like, a bunch of the systems that Delta plays. You can play a lot of the, like, biggest titles on those systems on the Switch, but the difference between the Switch and my phone is I always have my phone on me, and like I'm always signed into my iCloud account, and all that stuff is always synced and always, you know, connected. So for me, it's one of those things where I guess Google Drive could do it if I were on Android, and I know that they have a lot more emulators and a lot more options, but it is kind of a big deal, iOS getting like its first full-featured, like, good emulator, like multi-system emulator, just not through jailbreaking, not through like some like, oh, download this profile to your phone and run it, and none of that. Like, it's just go to the app store, download this app,
it works,
get your ROMs however you may get your ROMs.
Does it kill your battery? That's the only thing that I like.
No, I have not had any kind of, it's actually been surprisingly like
cool.
It's so snappy, it feels like it's super lightweight as far as
like for the phone processing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
yeah, because I have my analog pocket, and I don't mind driving or having that in the car and carrying that around. But that's like, I haven't accessed the emulation part of it, and so like carrying around a bunch of cartridges isn't as feasible in today's age.
Well, there are those programs on the analog pocket that let you dump your ROMs to your computer, and then
yeah, I just haven't those. I haven't done that part yet. But yeah, I want to check this one out, because I mean, this does DS games, which analog doesn't do.
And the DS is actually, so using it just straight up on your phone is like one thing. But then for me, using it with the Backbone, like, because I think Madrid also got a Backbone, like the DS, it goes from like, if you're holding your phone landscape, it'll have the like touch buttons on the side and it'll have the two screens on top of each other. But like, that's not a whole lot of real estate.
No.
But when you or when I connect my backbone to it, it puts the top screen on the left and the bottom screen on the right, and just half and half the entire screen. So the entire screen of my phone, all that real estate is used for the two screens of the DS.
So. I kind of want to see how, like, because like cutting it in half kind of seems a little small too, though. Like, or does it just look fine? And I'm just,
yeah. And look, I mean, the only game that I've really played like that so far with it is Mario Kart DS, and for me, it was great.
Okay, nice.
So,
put Soul Hackers on there. See how that feels.
What system is Soul Hackers on?
DS.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I did play a little bit of Pokemon Black and White. Or just White, the original one. Yeah. And that, because if you hold it portrait, you get like all your buttons down here, and then right above that is where the touch screen is, and then right above that is where like the main screen is, so even that's kind of a usable orientation. And so for that, the one that I'm really interested in checking out is Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword, because that's one of those games you held your DS like a book to play.
Yeah,
so
what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of holding your DS.
Like,
same thing with some of the Rain Age games.
Huh.
Yeah, there were a bunch of games. So instead of holding it like this, you'd hold it like this.
Oh, and that's like, kind of a,
do stuff on the touch screen.
That's a sick concept.
Yeah. And so the game that I know for a fact that I have that plays like that is Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword, back when all the subtitles of games were DS. Like Castlevania, Dawn of Sorrow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Damn. Huh. I never even thought of that until now.
It's like, fuck, you're right about that.
Let me see. DS subtitles.
Damn.
How would I even say this? Dawn of Sorrow Dragon Sword. Got too much shit on my desk.
Anyway.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, I've utterly lost my train of thought.
That's fair. Same.
I think Anton's caught up in trying to figure out this DS thing.
Okay, so it's Advance Wars, Dual Strike, Castlevania, Dawn of Sorrow, Bleach, Dark Souls, Contra, Dual Spirits, Lunar, Dragon Song, Mr. Driller, Drill Spirits, Ninja Gaiden, Dragon Sword, Peggle, Dual Shot, Resident Evil, Deadly Silence.
Damn.
Tenchu, Dark Secret. Like, there were a bunch of games for the DS that the, like, acronym would just be DS. So you could say Advance Wars DS, and it would be Dual Strike, which is the Advance Wars on the DS.
Damn, devs were just having fun back then.
Yeah, let's call it that.
It was something fun that they, you know, they don't do that.
I mean, yeah, they don't do that anymore. That's fun.
But I guess the Switch, calling a game whatever Switch, doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, you're right. And when, I don't think they didn't do that for the 3DS, did they? Or like,
I mean, not that I know of. And I feel like the DS thing is something I realized during the DS, like when the DS was a current console.
Yeah.
And the fact that, yeah, I can't think of anything else. The PSP wouldn't, like...
That would be hard.
Patapon. Patapon. I don't know. Vita means life.
Vita means life. Yeah, there you go.
All right, so since neither of y'all checked out the emulator, I really thought I would have been able to talk to one of y'all about this retro emulator and, like...
I mean, we've all had our days where we used emulators, and you're saying, like, this is probably the smoothest one for GB to DS that you've played?
Well, I mean, it also has, like, Sega Genesis, NES, oh. SNES... N64. Let me look at all the
systems. N64?
Yeah.
That's wild.
So let's see. Yeah, NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS. So no Sega Genesis. Sorry.
Which is weird. I feel like that would be... It's one of the easier ones to emulate.
Yeah. Probably just not the priority. I mean, PSP emulation is there. I'm waiting for PPSSPP, like the actual, like, official emulator. Because they have a PC version of that I have installed, but they also have an Android version. And so I'm hoping they just port the Android version over. And, yeah, me plus my phone with the PSP emulator on a backbone... Like, seeing PSP games run at, like, their highest possible resolution and frame rate. In, like, the relatively same form factor on just a way better screen. Without the need for a UMD rattling around in the back of it.
I mean, at this point, the screen's bigger, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
I mean, grab a
PSP. I remember. Let's see. Compared, so, like, it would be all around better, especially if you had your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, let me do the side-by-side. I got my backbone right here, too. I'm sure this is playing great for audio. All right, so...
While you watch the YouTube content. What is...
So, yeah, this is side-by-side. My phone versus in my backbone versus the PSP.
Huh. You know what? That's why I always had my PSP on me. Because I thought it was a lot bigger than it was.
No, the PSP was like that optimum size for... it was pocketable. Like any handheld system that is pocketable is always like S tier.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, even the Vita was a little bit less pocketable, but then the Vita Slim was a lot more pocketable than the OG Vita. Mm-hmm. The DS Lite was way more pocketable than the,
I want a DS Lite.
I had to get one.
Does the DS Lite play, GBA games?
Yep.
Or is,
yep.
Okay, yeah, that's clean.
DS Lite. Got my lime green DS Lite.
That is clean.
Let's see if it's charged.
Oh. Moment of truth.
We got life.
You got power.
But yeah. DS Lite. So DS Lite, pocketable handheld. S tier. Game Boy Advance SP, pocketable handheld. S tier.
Well, the Game Boy Advance wasn't that bad either.
Yeah, it wasn't, but the SP is...
It was really the if you want to talk about the Advance, it was the Micro.
Oh, yeah, the Micro.
Man. The Micro.
Micro is...
I also want a Micro.
I really want a Micro. But then again, part of the reason I got this DS Lite was to do a Game Boy Macro mod.
Oh.
So do either of you watch Wolf Den on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, so he did a couple of different DS macro mods, and I was just those look really good. And that would be the same pocketability. The screen would be lot more exposed than it currently is in the clamshell, but
see, I've probably seen it before, but I want to know what a macro.
He had like the goated idea of like setting up an emulation Steam Deck in an arcade cabinet with like a vertical monitor, and he's like, oh yeah, and it's a really great way to play DS games because the vertical monitor puts the two things like in the arcade cabinet. As long as you don't need the touchscreen for anything, it's a great way to do it.
That's true. Huh.
Yeah,
I want to do that. I want to build a dope arcade cabinet with an old PC.
I would honestly, that'd be one of the things, like, that'd be my Steam Deck's final resting place. Is powering a fucking arcade cabinet.
Just a hollow shell with like a Steam Deck floating in the middle.
Oh, it wouldn't be floating. It's just sitting on the floor on a pile of wires.
Nah, you gotta hang it up right.
Yeah.
Mount it to the ether. But yeah, I mean, while we're talking about portable games, Chris, Pokemon Go, we did our Bellsprout Community Day yesterday. So yeah, cheat code, you guys. Usually when we record on a Sunday, it's because Pokemon Go Community Day is on a Saturday, and Chris and I are busy.
No, it was a good time. I feel like this was definitely the first time where I stopped going after the Pokemon. After the first couple of hours, like even to get shinies, I was like, I've gotten the
right.
I got the family. I don't like really need it. We were just kind of walking around doing raids and like in routes and everything more so than just trying to catch a Bellsprout.
Yeah. See, and then my auto catcher was like, my auto catcher was the phantom fourth member of our party.
Yeah.
It's like. Any challenge we needed to do, it was like all of us were doing it, but my auto catcher was really doing it.
Yeah, it would be like, catch 35 Pokemon. It would end, and Anton would be like, 27 caught. And I'm like, damn. It's really putting in the work right now.
But yeah, that's how I ended yesterday with 25 shiny Bellsprouts.
Damn. They all went to you. I think I stopped. Part of the reason why I stopped caring is because, like, for a whole hour, I didn't catch any. The first hour, I was getting them, like, back to back. And then, like, after that, I was like, okay, well, I don't get any anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it was good.
I wish we had gotten some more Heracross because I feel like one of these days we're going to get a shiny Mega, like, one of us. Because the past few community days, we've gone out and we've done a mega raid because we did Tyranitar last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did Heracross this time. And I think last week's episode, I was mad at myself for missing Heracross raid day. I was like, dang, I'm not going to get Heracross. My deck's like, there's no easy way to get Heracross, but then we did two different Heracross Mega Raids on Community Day, so I have enough Mega Candy that next time there's a Community Day that's either Bug or Fighting type, I can Mega Evolve that for the bonus. Because that's the other thing I've been doing every Community Day, is just like Mega Evolve a Pokemon that shares a type with whatever the Community Day Pokemon is, and you'll get bonus candy and
Bellsprout for whatever community Pokemon that is.
Yeah, so like last time, what was it, Mega Charizard? I think Mega Charizard was what I used for the Litten Day, and then I had Mega Sceptile for the Bellsprout Day.
That's cool.
And I have like Ampharos that can be Mega Evolved. I have Tyranitar, obviously, that can be Mega Evolved. I have... Oh, no, it wasn't the Litten Community Day. It was the last one we didn't do together. It was the Bagon Community Day that I did Mega Charizard because he had a dragon type and that shared the typing with the Bagon. So,
Nice.
And plus, it was like every 1.5 kilometers we walked, I got a bonus of Mega Energy to Mega Evolve it again. So, that's the thing, like, it doesn't really make sense me Mega Evolving in, like, the middle of the week when I'm not, like, actively playing, but on a community day when I know we're going to be walking a lot and...
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Plus, my Mega Dex is slowly filling out. Like, I have a bunch of things that I could Mega Evolve and get their entries in that Dex. I'm just...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to burn a Mega Evolution. Because I think the last time I did it, it was Slowbro. And I just did it because, like, I was doing a remote raid and it would have been helpful in the raid. But, yeah. So I think the ones that I've done have been... Beedrill, Slowbro, Charizard, and Sceptile. I think those are the megas that I've utilized. I'm really mad I didn't get to do any Venusaur mega raids because I have a Hundo Venusaur. And so being able to mega evolve that next time it's a grass type raid day would be useful, but you know,
that'd be sick.
I'm cool sticking with Sceptile. Sceptile's also
really cool.
Yeah,
it's true.
And Mega Venusaur kind of was like,
what does a Mega Venusaur look like?
It's not like that impressive of a redesign. It's not like Blastoise where he got like
a single cannon.
Right.
Went from double cannon to a mega cannon. With hand cannons.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's not that great.
Right. Mega Sceptile is a much better, like, grass.
Gen 3 got the best megas.
Yeah, because Groudon.
Every single one of them looks sick.
Yeah, well, they did.
I'm talking about the starter specifically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, Blaziken, Swampert, and Sceptile, all of their megas are great. I can't wait for Legend Blaziken Zaw, right, because we're probably finally going to get Mega Flygon.
Da-da-da-da-da.
They should release that on 4/20/2025.
They should. You said we were probably going to get Mega Flygon?
Yeah. Because the only reason they didn't do Mega Flygon as part of, like, whatever, that was Gen 6's gimmick, and then the Gen 3 remakes alongside that. The only reason they didn't do Flygon is because they couldn't figure out a design, but now they've had a lot of time to figure out a design. And, I mean, if you look at, like, Salamence and Garchomp, neither of those are, like, reinventing the wheel with their megas, so...
No.
Beedrill was a really good mega. I feel like Audino didn't need a mega. I feel like Altaria, like, the concept of Mega Altaria is cool, but Mega Altaria is not as cool as it could be. Mega Mewtwo. Whenever that comes to Pokemon Go, that's going to be a menace. Because Mewtwo is already
the strongest one.
Yeah, Mewtwo. Shadow Mewtwo is the strongest Pokemon in the game. And then when you have the option to Mega Evolve that, and Lucario is like the second best, and when they add Mega Lucario, it's going to be crazy. Hopefully we have like a Ryolu like spotlight hour or community day or something, because I have a Lucario, but it is not good. It's like low CP, low IVs, like it's just bad all around. I just evolved it for my Dex. I was like, I know at some point I'll get a better Lucario than this, but for now I just need Lucario to be in my decks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Pokemon Go always sounds like something I should get back to, but it's like I'm not. I would need an auto catcher or the bracelet that I got years ago to actually start working again. I swapped the battery. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, because I mean, yeah, the auto catcher, I think Chris is slowly seeing the light on it. It's like every time we do a community day, Chris is like,
I feel like I would definitely get one for a community. Well, let me correct that. I have the Pokeball that I use to play for Pokemon Let's Go. So I'm just going to find that. It's somewhere in these bins of controllers and wires.
Yeah. Mine was definitely in my drawer that was, it was a drawer of controllers that was a box of controllers for moving that I turned back into the same drawer of controllers. And yeah, my Pokeball Go Plus was there. Because it was the Pokemon Go Plus was the one that Jalen's talking about. This one.
That's the bracelet one?
Yeah.
I like the bracelet one too.
Yeah, so I don't have the bracelet part anymore. I just have like the clip part. But yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the one Jalen's talking about.
They should just make a watch app. They should just make a watch app. If they just put an auto catcher in a watch app, it would be.
Don't they want to like make some money off the?
They would make more money because they play the game consistently.
Yep. That's fair. Yep.
That's the thing about it. They would make more money because I would actually be in the fucking game instead of not looking at it or thinking about it at all and making nothing.
That's true.
I do go on some long walks.
All right, so then there's the Pokeball.
Which I got.
Go Plus.
Somewhere.
Which, yeah. And then.
Did you ever play Let's Go, or did you just get the Pokeball to get the
Pokeball? I played Let's Go.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I beat. It was Let's Go Pikachu, and I feel like I beat the game. I didn't do like the elite trainers and stuff like that. But I was the first one that I'm like, yeah, I'll take this Gen 1 remake. And I remember you were shitting on it and then you played it and you were like, well, shouldn't have shat on it.
Didn't.
I remain a hater.
But yeah, I had that pre-order in with the Pokemon Go Plus or the Pokeball Plus.
Nice.
And yeah, I don't think I've ever consistently, like, I used the Pokemon Go Plus a lot with Pokemon Go when I first was playing. And then I use the Pokemon Go Plus Plus every day now.
What is the difference? Do they do anything different?
Yes, this one does the most out of all of them.
But,
like, this one. Well, I mean, it depends on if you're using it for Pokemon Go, this is your best. This is your second best. This is your third best.
What do they all do differently that?
This one only will throw, it won't auto do anything. So you got to press the button to spin Pokestops when it flashes blue, which this one will also do, but this one you can set to auto spin Pokestops. And this one, when it turns green, you press the button and it'll throw a regular Pokeball. This one can auto throw regular Pokeballs. And if you click it, like the way I had it working for Community Day, is I had it set to throw great balls, but you have to click to throw great or ultra balls. You can't auto throw those with any of these. And then I feel like this one, you have to press the button on the top, like when the light turns green, for it to, and it'll only throw regular Pokeballs. So yeah, this one just has the most features and is the most convenient, because like I will just put it on auto throw regular Pokeballs and auto spin Pokestops and toss it in the passenger seat of my car and drive to and from work Because the sessions last an hour, and it's less than an hour of a commute. And, like, it'll just be buzzing away in the passenger seat, and I'm, like, not even looking at it. And I've gotten shinies like that. I've gotten, you know, if I'm moving below a certain speed, it's tracking that as walking. And so it's, like, hatching eggs and doing all types of cool stuff.
Huh.
And, like, this one, the app can be, like, open in the background. I think the other two, the app has to be, like, actually open on your phone to use them.
Okay.
So, yeah. Damn. I'll just have my phone.
You made a case for
the Go Plus Plus.
The Go Plus Plus.
Yeah, I mean, the more I use it, the more it's kind of like, yeah, if you're playing, like, Chris, you're at the point where, like, it's multiple days a month where you're getting out of your house to play Pokemon. So,
You know, actually, do I want to start playing Ingress again? Is that what I want? I don't know.
Sometimes is Ingress their other one?
Yeah, it's their first one. And I still think about it sometimes. It was this entire ass ARG storyline shit going on. Huh. Where, like, the three clans were vying for power, trying to figure out what cult is apocalypse they were going to do. And they had this whole TV show around it. It was really good.
That I mean, cool. Yeah, it's still up and running because when you go through Campfire, they, I know they shut down a bunch of their games. But the ones that they have as options are Ingress, Peridot, Monster Hunter Now, and Pokemon Go. You can use the same, like, matchmaking features and stuff like that through Campfire for at least all of those games.
That's cool.
Okay, that's good. It's good to see Ingress still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember walking up and down Boldercrest firing missiles at people's totems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you took down gyms. Instead of throwing Pokemon at it, you fired missiles and shit. That's you threw, like, EMPs and shit, like, it was... And you were trying to control territory. Like, you would get more resources the more territory you controlled.
That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. There was someone else who played nearby that wasn't on my team, because every day I would walk to the same bus stop and have to blast the motherfucker. And then I'd get a notification at, like, 10 p.m., hey, someone took your shit.
Your Pokemon has battled hard and has returned to you. Like, yeah. That's the notification you get in Pokemon Go. Because there's one that's, like, in my neighborhood. There's one that's, like, on a neighborhood that you have to pass to get out of my neighborhood. So it's technically, like, part of it. But and those two I usually keep on lock. Like, the only time they get they'll get taken over maybe, like, once every couple weeks or so. But then there's a park across the street from my neighborhood. That one is the one that I'll have to go over there and fight for consistently. Because there's somebody on red team that I guess drives past it all the time. And they see me controlling it. And they're just like, mm-mm.
Yoink.
But yeah, it's fun. It's interesting to see, like, when I'm driving to and from work, the gyms, like, that are by stoplights. So it's like those mornings where I stop there, I'm like, oh, this gym's blue. Let me drop something off here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a gym on the way to work that I get to I do that every morning. Fun. It's a good time.
Yep. Free poker.
This community day was a lot of fun because it wasn't on Granite. It was on 420, but it wasn't on St. Patrick's Day.
Right, yeah. That,
or a children's, like, awareness, whatever thing. So it wasn't as many people out there getting in the way.
Yeah, there was something going on. Like, there were multiple, like, because there were, like, all those people in suits that were, like,
oh, yeah, it was like a wedding, I think.
And then, but there were also then the multiple people in different colored dresses that looked like younger that started showing up as we were like leaving.
Wouldn't this be around time for prom?
Yeah, that's what I would like. But considering it was like a wedding prom, like all these crackheads. Like there was a considerably higher volume of crackheads this time than last time. One was harassing a little dog.
Don't harass the dog.
No.
But the dog do the dog things.
Right. Dog was
that
just...
Dog, that little dog started harassing other people.
Yeah.
Dog doing.
Scaring little kids. It was funny.
Right.
Yeah, that's perfect.
The kids fine. Like overstepped the line. The dog was like, argh! And they were like, the dog's trying to kill us. Like, nah, it looks like you overstepped the line. If the dog let me pet it, it was like investigating. Mm-hmm. I put my hand, it sniffed my hand, and let me pet it.
Mm-hmm. Are Pokemon goers, do they just keep to themselves in the wild?
I don't know. Because Thrasher Park used to be a
They seem like
community day felt like a community event.
Yeah, we went there yesterday and we saw, I think, one group.
Well, no, we saw just, like three different groups.
Yeah, but they all wanted to like.
Yeah, they were in their
keep to themselves. And I was like, I mean, we could all do this raid. I don't have to like talk to you. But it'd be easier if we all
took down the last time that Tyranitar raid. Those dudes were cool. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, there are a lot of people that play the game that are antisocial as fuck.
Which is fair. That's... If you don't want to socialize, you don't have to socialize.
Right. You're just outdoors playing a multiplayer game with that it benefits you to play with other people. But, you know...
Yeah. Yeah.
If we could find, like, a random singular person roaming around to get to join our group, because that's the problem. We always go out as a three-man party, and you could do up to four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we could find that. Or if we could really just get Jalen to play.
All right. Anton, here's the task. We just got to learn how to code. Build
app.
Build an auto catcher watch app. I'd be down.
Okay, look. I will take a look at my Pokemon Go Plus again. If that will connect and won't interfere with my watch, then okay, maybe.
Yeah, cool. Also, it's in Decatur. There's like a place to like chill and get a beer or really good food at one point.
Chris is so ready to go that we haven't like Chris hasn't gotten to chill afterwards and get food and stuff, but
I know.
Question, did they make your trainers look ugly with the new customization?
Yes. Oh my god.
Oh my god, they are so fucking bad. I don't think I knew it updated, and I like opened the app to buy the ticket, and I saw my trainer, and I was like, what the fuck
happened? Yeah, everybody had that moment. Like, I was at work, and I had gone to take out the trash, and I just opened up Pokemon Go, and I saw that they had done the update. My trainer looked like shit. I had to put a mask on my trainer. I was like, this is unacceptable. I used some of my valuable-ass Pokecoins on getting a Phantom mask to cover my trainer's face.
Oh, my God.
Because it looked that bad. I mean, it still looks pretty bad. Also,
why did they change it?
I don't
know. What was the point? It looked fine.
And then, did you see that it was doing, like, upskirts?
No. What?
Yeah, they didn't, like, render any underwear and, like, had it where, I mean, it was like a Barbie doll where it was smooth, but it was still, like...
And this is your game! Your game!
Holy shit.
Yeah, they did really fuck up the trainer, like...
Yeah.
Because they had no reason to change it. It's been the exact same system since 2016. And then they just decided to, like, push out this update where, like, a bunch of people in my friends just look bad. Like, everybody's trainer was acceptable. Some of these is just, like...
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, my dude looks like he was... Never mind. Homeschooled.
This is the game you're selling me? This is the game?
No, it's not. Style is not a...
Yeah, like, nobody cares what your trainer looks like, really?
But, like, don't make them ugly.
Yeah, honestly, they need to do something where, like, all of them don't look like complete shit. That would go a long way. But, I mean, like, as far as your trainer customization, you pretty much get, like, an outfit and a pose. You get a setup you like, and you stick with it.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, that's how games, like, of their ilk act. It's just more like...
The hair is trash.
Don't make me look terrible.
Yeah, all the hairstyles are bad. That's one of the main problems. And then they have 7 body types. Most of them are feminine. And there's no, like... I think the only slider you get is, like... Let's see.
You can custom, kind of.
Oh, no, it's only 7 faces you get. Yeah. The body you can do sliders. Customize,
but... which is fine. The faces.
Pretty much all the presets have breasts, so.
You just gotta. Wear a mask. It's so. It doesn't make sense.
That is quite funny.
It is actually hilarious. Also makes me.
What?
Feel better? Because I really thought I was, like, under the influence of something and just changed my character because I thought I should.
Nope.
It messed it up, but I'm glad to know it was the company that made the game that did it, not me.
Yeah. This is all Niantic's fault.
Good with it. Nope, that looks worse. Okay.
Alright. Well, has anybody been playing anything this week they want to talk about, or...
Well, I played Persona, but I think we already talked about that.
Yeah, we started talking about Persona. Yeah. If y'all were just talking, I was like, I'm just going to hit record and...
See what happens.
Yeah.
What else? Did I play anything else? No.
No, just Persona and Helldivers. You know, making my way, doing Elizabeth's tasks.
Nice.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to max out my social links and stuff. I'm almost done with the old couple and the magician.
Oh, I really like the old couple story.
Oh.
They're great.
I have one more thing. Did either of you watch the Fallout show?
No.
No.
It is really fucking good. I watched
it. I have one more thing.
Huh?
I also have one more thing.
Well,
Is the Fallout show done?
Yeah.
Like, you can watch all of it?
All 8 episodes dropped at one time on Prime Video.
Prime Video.
Which was a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake because I watched all of it between episodes of X-Men 97. It's like one episode of X-Men 97 dropped. I watched the entire series. And then the next week, the next episode of X-Men 97 dropped. And I'm like, yep, X-Men 97 has infinitely more staying power than the Fallout show. But the Fallout
show... Because you have time to give it staying power.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Fallout show is a really good adaptation. I'm glad it got renewed for a season 2. Like, the Fallout, the modern Fallout, like, 50s alternate history wasteland.
That's how Fallout always was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's more played up in the more recent games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like... Those vibes are just immaculate, and just having a show with Walton Goggins acting his ass off in it. And then, like, this new, that the Brotherhood of Steel character is played by a character that can only be described as alternate universe Denzel Washington.
And Jinx is running around.
Jinx from what?
Arcane.
That's the voice actress?
Yeah.
Lucy?
Mm. Yeah.
One of my coworkers says she had really big eyes, and I haven't been able to unsee it.
No, oh, no, she does. They're like a third of her face.
But yeah, if you've liked Severance, if you've liked... I'm trying to think, like, it gives... The one of the things is, like, kind of the middle section loses a lot of the direction, but I feel like it opens really strong and ends really strong. And, like, throughout is strong enough to recommend, like, at no point was it slow enough that I fell off it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I, like, if you have any affinity for Fallout, check it out. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, the 25th, we're getting the update for a native PS5 version, if you have the PS4 version, which if you got a PS5 within the first 2 years, I think, you could do the PlayStation Plus collection that had Fallout 4, so you probably have a digital copy of Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. So, and then Xbox through Game Pass, you can get all the Fallouts, and Fallout 4 is getting a Series X patch that same day. And it's getting Steam Deck verified, and it's getting like ultra wide support and a bunch of like bug fixes and like creator club content across all the different versions.
That's cool.
So I wish it would have been out day and date with the series, because it's like I want to play Fallout, but I also don't want to like, you know, start a save on the PS4 version and have to transfer it to the PS5 version, or start on the non-Steam Deck verified version, and then I don't want to start it, like, because it's deck playable, but it's just a little bit janky, like, it has a launcher, and it has, like,
mm-hmm.
like, it'll be actually optimized for the Steam Deck Thursday, so I'm waiting on that, and
yeah, that's not that long of a wait.
All right, Jalen, what was your one more thing?
Go see Monkey Man. It's a good-ass movie.
It's in theaters?
Yep.
What is Monkey Man?
It's the Dave Patel action movie. You're following one man's quest for revenge as he fights the rich and elite that burned his village to the ground.
Hell yeah.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I could go for a good ass.
It's paced a little slow, but that's just to get you in his head a lot more. So when things explode into violence, it's like, oh, things explode into violence.
Is it like John Wick tier or higher or lower?
I would put it. I put it with Onbok 1. It's lower than the Raid 1. And I would put it, the closest John Wick movie I would put to it is probably like 1 or 2. Because this is like Dave Patel's first directorial outing.
Okay.
But it's good. Good camera work, too.
Nice.
You could still see exactly what's happening, but fuck, it looks like chaos.
Chaos.
I love it.
Yeah. So go see that movie.
All right.
Okay.
Well, if that's it, until next time, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram or PSN at Anton6 with 2 X's. Jalen, where can people find you?
Squid Bishop on the internet.
And Chris?
You can find me in the Discord.
All right, this has been a No It's Good production. The video version is edited by Chris. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.